Glen Arbor Community Church. We are going to look at social justice today. What does it mean to bring justice into society and God's view and God's way and a biblical perspective of that? We're going to worship together, so why don't we pray and we'll have the music team lead us in worship. God, thank you for working in our lives. Thank you that you are good. Thank you that you are the one who is just. Help us to look to you together. Amen.
Morning. Let's all stand up and sing a few songs. I know it's hot, but we can take the heat a little bit. Gene says we're speaking about social justice today. And there's no justice without our Lord. Our Lord is, he designed justice, you know. So let's sing Hope of the Nations, because he is our only hope. He is our only hope for true justice in this world.
Good morning. Why doesn't everybody just bow for a moment, and in your own heart, with what we just sang in the last couple songs, just take a minute and just praise the Lord for who he is, and just take a personal moment to pray to the Lord. Ask him to renew your heart, give your heart fully surrendered to him, as we sang about a couple songs ago, and just take a moment with the Lord and talk to him. Father, we do surrender ourselves to you fully. Every moment, Lord, we need to do that, Lord. Our flesh gets in the way, our pride, our desires, Lord. But help us to have hearts that quickly turn back to you, Lord, when we go our own ways. And we just ask this morning that you would bless us as we hear your word, and that your word would penetrate deep in our hearts. Christ, in Jesus' name, amen. All right, just turn around and say to each other, greet each other and say, God's love never fails. All right? All right. Well, the most important bullet, or the most important announcement, is actually not in your bulletin. It's that today we are having an all-church breaking of bread, but not during the service, tonight at 5. So what we're asking everyone to do, we've emailed out our own individual home breaking of bread groups with our normal rotation schedules for bringing food, but we're all bringing food here at 5 o'clock at the church. So we're meeting. I know this is complicated, but it's all church breaking bread, but the way we do it when we do it in the home. So bring your food to the church at 5. We're all getting together. We're going to have a meal. It's going to be a little hot, but we'll set up fans in the fellowship hall. We're going to have a meal together. We're going to break bread together. And then we have visiting missionaries from Nepal, Mike and Sue Cater. Some of you know them and have met them, and you'll be really blessed by their presence. They'll just share about what the Lord is doing in Nepal and India, as the gospel is going out among millions of unreached Hindus, primarily, and Muslims in that area. And the Lord is really doing amazing things in propagating the gospel throughout that part of the world. So be sure to be here. I think you'll be very encouraged just to hear of their faith and what the Lord is doing all around the world as you participate in that. So 5 o'clock, back at the church, bring potluck stuff. We'll have a good time of fellowship. Okay, the only other quick things coming up just to mention are on August 5th, we normally have our all-church prayer meeting at 8:30, and then every once in a while we do a core meeting afterwards. So on August 5th, we're going to do our all-church prayer meeting and then a core meeting. And the primary reason we're doing the core meeting this time is that we have a proposal on the table from a nonprofit here in West Chicago, Educare, to lease the western wing of our church facility during the day, Monday through Friday, 9 to 5 type of hours, probably more like 8 to 6, whatever. And we would like to present that to anyone that would like to come out at the core meeting on August 5th to present all the details, to talk it through, to get your input, to answer your questions. And it's going to be a really good time to kind of get our core together and discuss this opportunity that we have for the church. So August 5th, we invite you out for that. And the only other thing to mention is that the youth group is going to Feed My Starving Children on August 19th at 7 p.m. And there's a mason jar over on the literature table there. If you'd like to donate your change, your spare change between now and then, they always bring some money to Feed My Starving Children when they do this activity to help pay for the shipment of the food overseas. So anything you'd like to donate in the mason jar is going to go directly 100% to Feed My Starving Children on August 19th. Other than that, please enjoy the rest of the service. This is a time where we take our normal offering. If you're just visiting, don't feel any pressure to participate. This is for our regular members to support the ministries of our church. And if you're in Sunday school, you can take off after the offering with your Sunday school teachers. Thanks for coming.
Good morning again. Glad you were here today. Ever go to a restaurant and have something really good? I enjoy Mexican food and Italian food. Ever take a bite and it's a little too big and you go, I don't know if I can chew this. What do I do now? That's what I feel like with this topic today as I've selected it. This was actually one of my choices. We're trying to talk about over the next several weeks and past 3 weeks topics that are common in the culture today and bring a biblical perspective to them. And I want to talk about social justice. It's a common term you'll hear today in Christianity and even in society in our culture. And but it's one of those terms where, what does it mean? And I have found a definition that I like online to help us look at this. To kind of introduce where we're going today and what is social justice and does God care about social justice? And here's the definition. It's the fair and just relation between the individual and society. This is measured by the explicit and tactic terms of distribution of wealth, opportunities, personal activity, and social privileges. Okay, that's a lot of phrases with words with lots of letters. What does that mean? If you think about, we live in a fairly free society. There are lots of free societies in the world. And if you think about the difference between the individual and society, how should things be distributed? In terms of wealth, if you look at a socialist society, they agree that there should be a sharing of things, and they give more to the government, that things are more evenly distributed because they think that's the good right way to do it. In a communist society, you don't have a choice. You're forced into that. The government says everything is equal. Everything you work, we take, and we give you some back so you don't die. That's my opinion of how it works. And so social justice is there a fair and equitable distribution of opportunities, wealth, privileges for you? And how do we make that fair? So I want to look at some social justice categories, and this was my mistake. There are actually so many that we really cannot deal with them all. I'm sure these will look familiar to you. Wealth and poverty. How much wealth is it okay? Is it okay to have a Bill Gates who's really worth billions of dollars and then have people who are struggling to eat? Is that okay? Or do we take some of Bill Gates' money? How much do we take and redistribute it? Beyond wealth and poverty, access to food, water, and basic things that sustain life. This really, in my opinion, isn't a struggle as much in our culture. I have people sometimes come to the church, say, hey, I don't have anything to eat, I don't have any food, and I can refer them to all types of agencies in town and in DuPage County where there is so much that's available. It's really not enlightening, it's really encouraging that we really don't want anyone to struggle with those things if it's just basic needs. Pollution in the environment. How much pollution is acceptable? You know, if you're against pollution, every time you start your car, you're contributing to pollution. So are you willing enough to use your bicycle all the time? How much pollution is acceptable? Access to health care. This is a big shift that's happened in the past 7 years. Have you heard in the last election cycle from some of the candidates that it was a fundamental right to health care? It's a fundamental right. I'm not saying that's right. I will say that's wrong. It can't be true, and we'll talk about why that cannot be true, a fundamental right. But you're hearing that. You didn't hear that 7 years ago, but you're hearing it now. Immigration, citizens' rights. What are rights? What is our obligation as a country to other countries, to helping people who are struggling, to helping people who are persecuted? Civil rights relates to, does everyone have the same chance? Are we intentionally, and this is a hot button topic, are we oppressing certain groups? Are we oppressing minorities? Are we oppressing different sexes? Even a big topic, do women earn the same amount as men or vice versa? Access to education or even providing for education. I think it was New York said, we are going to provide for your college education because we believe it's so important, so the state will provide for it. Not just access, but paying for it. And here's a new one my son and I talked about last night. Is it okay for a company to make money? How much money? If an oil company makes a lot of money, is that wrong? Are they evil if they do that? Is it bad? If you heard this about pharmaceutical companies, is that right or wrong? These are all social justice issues. So I wanted to introduce a summary of why people think these are important, and I'm an auditory learner. I love songs, and I found a song that I want to just play a little clip of that will talk about this. Some of you may recognize this. Kellen, can you cue that up for me? This is from 1971, if I remember correctly. Go ahead, Kel. Louder. Oh, he stopped. Oh. Feed the poor, tell their honor, rich no more. Thank you. That's good, Jeff. That's good. So, the great theologian Alvin Lee wrote that song. And what he said, I don't know if you can catch this. I love that old music. So it's kind of, you know, if you put four guys in a room with some marijuana, sometimes you get a good song out of it. So, but, he said, I would love to change the world, but I don't know what to do. So people, social justice is a view of how do we change the world? How do we change society so it's better? And there are different opinions and different views on how to do that. Well, why don't we pray? Because we need to get off of the Alvin Lee thing. Sorry, my apology. Anything where we can play music from the 70s is a good excuse. So, God, thank you that your perspective is good and it's better. I pray that you help us see your way of doing things in this, in your Son's name. Amen. So what I want to look at and start with is common points of contention. Not that I want to contend them, but you are hearing these in that there are arguments and forces that are pulling people together, and there are strong opinions that seem to be pushing people apart, and people are using these, and it seems like, this is just my impression, the forces that pushing people apart seem to be stronger. And I just want to talk about some of them, and we're going to, of what some of them are, different perspectives. So there's three of them here, the more liberal view of things, of the world and culture and people, is that people are basically good. And because of that, if we focus on the structure of our programs and our systems, and if we change them in the right way, that it'll help the culture. If we collect money and distribute them and have a good system to do that, it will work well. It'll work well, it'll help out, because people, most people are basically good and they will help each other out. And so so you see a lot of focus on the system, on the policy, on the program. And there's a belief that because we've learned from the past, because we're a little smarter now, that this time we can do this correctly. So in my opinion, one of the things that's short-sighted in this approach is it doesn't seem to allow, from the biblical point of view, that people are not basically good. People have a sinful, selfish streak in them, and some people will exploit the system. They will exploit your good intent. They will exploit what's offered and take advantage of what the system offers. I had a relative do this once. Sorry, I shouldn't say relative. I had a person I know and said, you know, I lost my job and I'm on unemployment, but, you know, I'm making enough to live on. Why should I look for a job until my unemployment runs out? I'm kind of having a good time. Really wasn't the intent. It was supposed to bridge the gap to help you. That's another story. The conservative view, conservatism is basically based on conserving good values from the past and bringing them into the future, saying these principles are the ones that you are free to build a good life around. And there's much more focus on individual behavior. You have the opportunity to do well and build your own life. And I think there's lots of things that are good about that. It follows the biblical model that, boy, there's a lot is in your hands. There's lots of opportunity, and what happens in your life, there are a lot of decisions that are based on what you choose, what you spend your time on, what you dwell on. One of the downsides of an extreme focus on that is there are hard situations that happen in life. There are spouses who pass away. There are crisis situations that a lot of people cannot foresee. And if we lean too hard in that direction, there are times that people do need help. and it can be a little heartless if you go down that road. Libertarian view is a little in between, in that the liberal view says we're going to structure society and we're going to make enough programs where it's going to be good. The conservative view is we're going to free you up to live your own life and it's your choice, but we don't want a lot of government interference and programs. You do it yourself. The libertarian view is I want to be free to live my own life. Just don't bother me. And you can do whatever you want, however you want it. Just leave me alone and don't ask me to endorse your lifestyle. So those are three different perspectives. So I'm wondering, out of those, what is God's view? Is God liberal? Well, yes, he is. As a matter of fact, he's very liberal in lots of ways. He's very generous. There is no one more generous than God is. Is God conservative? Yes, he is. God encompasses all of these things and much more. So that's where we want to go, is what are different perspectives in this? What about worldviews? Not just perspectives, but worldviews. Man's view is to kind of create a utopia. Hey, if we focus here, if we do enough right things, we can make this as good as it can be. That's a man-centered view. A God-centered view is that everyone is created in God's image and we struggle with selfishness and sin and people who want to get away with things. And we need to help each other because that's the right thing to do, because we are created in God's image. We are not going to create, in the biblical view, we are not going to be able to create utopia, a great, perfect culture. There is no perfection here until God comes back. That Jesus Christ will bring the ultimate justice. He'll bring that back when he comes. So that's the only ultimate solution. So we're going to do the best we can while we're here and represent God while we're here, but we're not going to have perfection here. So, in my opinion, I think we have had a cultural shift. I don't know. So in social justice, has anyone heard the term a social justice warrior? Anyone heard that term? Really? No? Okay. About maybe half of us. So that would be someone who holds this cause, one of those causes, very highly. And they think society, culture will be better if we deal with this issue. And they see a lot of the world through that lens. And I think, and I'm going, well, what do you do if that lens is too, if you see everything through that filter? Is that the right filter to see things through? Sometimes you can end up in a place where you misdiagnose the problem. Ever have that? I've had that with my car. I had my car, it was having some trouble, and I brought it in, and I paid to get it fixed. And they said, this is your problem. It'll cost you $400. The steering was making noise and clunking in my car. And I brought it in, and they fixed it. And it cost me $400 or $500, and I drove away, and like 2 weeks later, it was doing that same thing. And I said, you know, it cost me $400, but it's still making the noise. You fixed the wrong problem. In my opinion, one of the struggles in modern culture, especially computer culture, is we're a little more isolated. You know, 100 years ago, you had a community you lived in. People knew you, they knew your life, you interacted with them. It was a fairly small community. Now we're more isolated. Why do we have people who get so emblazoned by one cause that this cause, healthcare, college, whatever it is, I think it's because we don't live in community as much. It's just my opinion. I can't prove that. But one of the shifts in culture is that we see a much bigger emphasis on the government as the provider. The government as the provider. And I want to look at, is that reasonable? Is that the way it's supposed to be? And here's my contention. I don't think it was that way even when our country was founded just over 200 years ago. So I'm going to read one of the most famous phrases from the Declaration of Independence. This is written by Thomas Jefferson. And you've heard this before, I'm sure, but I think it's good to look at. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. They are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So I said, if you're going to live in America, if you're going to be an American, if you're going to be in this country, you have a right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. You have a right to those things, and those things are from God. I think the founders of the nation got this correct. So I found the draft. There's a draft of Thomas Jefferson didn't write this one time and get it just the way they wanted it. There were several drafts of the Declaration of Independence. This is a draft version of what Thomas Jefferson wrote. Same phrase, or same part of it. We hold these truths to be sacred and undeniable. Sacred and undeniable. That all men are created equal and independent, and that from equal creation they derive rights inherent and unalienable, among which are the preservation of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So in the view, the one thing that shifted in our culture is that the government needs and should provide for these things. And that shifted quite a bit, quite a bit. We had, actually Bernie Sanders was very popular, and he said that the health care is a fundamental right. It's a fundamental right that you have health care. Now, I actually participate in the Affordable Care Act. That's how I buy my insurance. 7 years ago, it didn't exist. And now we're saying it has to be that way. And I say that's impossible. It doesn't make sense, and I'll tell you why. So if health care is a fundamental right, then I have a right to it. Now, if I lose my job, or if I don't work, or if I don't want to work, if it's a fundamental right, now let's say you have in your bank account $3,000. Now, if I have a fundamental right to health care, and you have $3,000, guess what? My fundamental right says we need to take your $3,000 and pay for my health care, because it's my fundamental right. It's part of the society, the culture we live in. So that doesn't work because it violates the Eighth Commandment. You know what the Eighth Commandment is? Thou shalt not steal. We are going to steal your money and pay for my fundamental rights. So this is my view, that the way our declaration was written is that really fundamental rights cannot cost money. Fundamental rights are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. You have the right, and the founders of this country, to build your own life. So in all of this, that's one of the places I think that our culture has shifted quite a bit that is not correct. So what about God's view? What is God's view? Not just cultural view. What about God's view of this? Jesus said this. People were worried about, what am I going to eat? What am I going to do? How am I going to provide for the future? God's view that Christ gave is that God knows you need these things and that He is the provider. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow nor stow away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. God has a system that God is the provider. That's the view that God brings, and God is all over the world in all types of cultures, intervening on people's behalf to provide for them. He's not limited by our policy in that. But God's plan is to work through people. People. What about the church? The church is a family. God's primary plan is to work through families. So if a family member has a need, that families draw together and help each other out. It's the nucleus of God's design for culture. It seems like when families fall apart, cultures fall apart. And there is a charge to the church to do that. The church meeting needs. Now, who is the church? The church is not this building. The church is us. The church is the Christians. Not just us, but the Christians all over the world. And God's charge is to the people to be helping each other. So God's structure of teaching is for individuals to help. Individuals to help. So does that mean God doesn't care? Can we stop the poor? Can we stop the poor from being here? Can we fix that? You know, when John F. Kennedy was shot in 1963, the vice president became president, Lyndon Baines Johnson, and he started the war on poverty. He said, we're going to fix this. We're going to do away with poverty. That was his goal, and we're still working on that today. Jesus said, and he wasn't trying to deal with policy, he says, you will always have the poor among you. You will not always have me. You really can't do away with poverty. There's always disparity in culture. You can create a culture that provides lots of opportunity, that you can accumulate wealth and have some savings and have a chance to build your own life. You know, 80% of the world does not live in a culture like that. When Mike Cater, if you're going to come tonight, ask him about life in Nepal or life in India, if you're part of the caste system there, what type of opportunity there is for someone who lives in India in a lower caste. Can they go anywhere? Do they have opportunity? Can they go to college? Can they start a business? Oops, James 1:27. So does God want people to care? It says, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is to look after orphans and widows in distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. It's interesting, this combination. Keep yourself from being polluted and care for people in true need, in true distress. It's supposed to be people in the culture who are doing that. The downside, one of the downsides I see, once it becomes the government, it becomes out of the habit and character of people to help each other because someone else is doing it. You can lose that in one generation, that I'm going to help my family. Well, it's the government's job to do that. The money comes from them. They take it from me and they do it. So I want to give an example. This is an example that happened in the book of Ruth. Now, Naomi's husband had passed away. Her husband had passed away, and Ruth said, I will stay with you. Your husband's passed away. I am with you. I will stay with you and work with you and help you. And this man and their family had some property and was working a property, and he was taking care of them. Now, he didn't do the work for them, but he helped them. He told his workmen, he says, leave some food for them. Leave the edges of the field for them. As a matter of fact, don't bother those ladies. Don't bother those women. Make sure you protect them. And this is what Naomi said when she heard about this. The Lord bless him. Bless this man. The Lord bless him. He has not stopped showing kindness to the living and the dead. He hasn't stopped showing kindness to the living and the dead. That's her husband. My husband passed away. This man is honoring my husband who I cared about, and he's honoring and helping us. This people helping people helps people have faith in God, that God is the provider. This man is our close relative. He is our guardian redeemer. It creates this bond. You know, we were in Nicaragua several years ago, and we built this little house for a family. I still remember it. She hadn't seen it. house was 9 foot square. 9 foot square. I remember building it, and I remember thinking, wow, that's small. I have a shed bigger than this in my backyard. And I thought, it had one light bulb and two outlets. And I, what are they going to think? And the lady came there, and she looked at it, and she said, this is so nice. It has a cement floor. It doesn't have a dirt floor. She goes, I know that God is going to provide for us. It was bigger than a little house. It was confidence that God was going to help them. You see that when people care for people. So what can you do? What can you do? What is God's plan? God's plan, I'm going to skip this for the sake of time. God's plan is to care for our neighbor. To love your neighbor as ourselves. That's God's plan. It's not, it's based on individuals caring for each other. That's His society. So what can you do if that's God's plan? What can you do? If you're going to be the church, we need to be the people who do that, who learn how to do that. With good boundaries, you'll find the same thing, that some people want to take advantage of your generosity. That happens. That happens sometimes. But the government's terrible at that. They're terribly inefficient at it. They just have policies. People can say, no, this would be better. You should do this. And you can guide people towards God's plan because it helps them have confidence that God really cares. So why are they doing this? I see that they care about me. That's God's plan. Why don't we pray and we'll have the music team come up. God, thank you for your plan. That your plan is to have individuals and families and the church care for each other. And help us to understand and do that and live this together. In your Son's name.